Hey guys, just a quick note. As some or all of you know, I am Ukrainian-American. I was born and raised in Ukraine. And so in my business sense and my hard attempt to support freedom and to stand with Ukraine, my company, U2Shine, has launched a line of products where 100% of the profit goes to buy much needed supplies for Ukrainian people and then ship them without overhead, without any cost, all run by volunteers who are close clients and friends on both here in US to acquire supplies and then in Ukraine. With that, if you would like to participate in this effort, please go to store.u2shine.com, and that is store.u2shine.com. With every product that you buy, the profit from that product goes 100% to support Ukraine. Please wear the gear with pride and share the word. Thank you so much, and much love to you as you stand for freedom, as you stand for peace, and as you stand with Ukraine.
In the world of many internal and external voices, the voice you listen to is the voice that dictates your life. Would you like to discover a clear path to a life of freedom and fulfillment? Then welcome to All About the Voice podcast, where we focus on awareness, alignment, and action in order to live a life of abundance. I am your host, Victoria Rader.
Life took a desperate turn for Andrea and Charlie Xavier due to a horrific burn accident. Charlie's miraculous journey of recovery was sustained by faith and moments of serendipities. Here's Andrea Xavier, a voice for overcoming the impossible through faith. Okay, and here with me right now is a very courageous and faithful man that you have heard about a little bit in the intro, Andrea Xavier. Andrea, welcome to All About the Voice podcast.
Thank you, Victoria. I'm just so grateful to be here with you and for the opportunity, so thank you.
You know, before I clicked the record button, you said this was such a great day to be talking. So tell me why today is a great day, and maybe that'll be an introduction to your story.
Absolutely, Victoria. Today is the day that I've been dreaming for a long time. Today is the day that my beautiful wife, Charlie, is leaving the burn unit. And she's been discharged just 9 days shy of 6 months. We're going to get into it, but it's just a miracle that this day is happening. And I'm just so full of gratitude and just so humbled with mixed emotions. But it is an incredible day that I just dreamed of. And at one point, I did not even think it would be happening. So incredible day today.
It sure is. Thank you for making time for us. And you know, this is a sacred space to be. I don't believe in coincidences. So our whole family gets to cheer on Charlie. So Cheer on Charlie is a Facebook group that has taken a life of its own when you were brought to your knees by a horrific incident. Tell us what happened.
Sure. So, you know, I like when I tell the story of the accident, I like to give a little bit of a go back a few hours before the accident. So the accident happened on September 10, 2021. And we truly were at the time were living life to the best. We had two beautiful children. We had businesses. We had everything that truly were dreamed of. And one of those businesses, it's a brewery. And Charlie always worked as our marketing director for all the businesses. And she's super crafty. And right before the opening, 2 days before the soft opening, she decided that she wanted to build the kids area for the brewery. And she went there 3 days before the accident working. And then the night before the accident, actually, Charlie and I had a little argument because she came home and she was experiencing a really bad pain on her neck, because she was doing a lot of manual labor and was doing some sanding of wood. And I truly told her, I was like, Charlie, you know, you have RA, rheumatoid arthritis. And, you know, you cannot be doing those kind of, you know, heavy labor work. And why don't you just take the day off tomorrow, go to the chiropractic, get some kind of relief for your pain, you know, on your neck? And Charlie was very defensive. He's like, no, absolutely not. I have to finish that blackboard for the kids area. I'm using chalk paint. And if I don't do it tomorrow, Friday, will not be dry for the soft opening on Sunday. It needs 48 hours to dry. And I was like, again, Charlie, somebody else can do that. It's okay. Just take care of yourself. And she got really defensive, like, no, no one can do what I'm doing. Absolutely not. And we actually got into a pretty strong argument about that because I did not want her to go and she wanted to go. So we go to bed. Next day, Charlie gets up early in the morning. She wakes up around 6:30 and she goes to the brewery before the works are even there. So she goes there a little earlier. And when she got there around 8 a.m., I called her, said, hey, Charlie, just looking for my car keys. And I remember that yesterday you drove my car. Would you happen to know where they are? And she said, oh, Andrea, please don't kill me. I have them. And I was like, well, you know, I should make you come back and bring me those keys because I truly have to run some errands. She's like, please don't. I was like, okay, when will we be home? And she said, well, actually, I made an appointment for the chiropractic. So it'll be at 3 p.m. So I should be home by 1. I was like, great. So 9:15 a.m., hour and 15 minutes after the call, my phone rang. Was Charlie. I answered the call and Charlie was like, in a very shaky voice, like, honey, I have been in an accident. And I was like, Charlie, I don't have time for silly jokes right now, for real. She's like, no, I'm really hurt. And I had overheard my business partner coming over and he grabbed the phone. He said, Andrea, it's really bad. Charlie's being burned. I was like, oh my gosh, what happened? And then she texted me a picture of her completely burned, her entire body. And at that moment, I just could not even think. I remember I grabbed my phone, I grabbed my wallet, didn't have my keys. I went outside. So for a quick second, I stood in my driveway looking at my car, but I didn't have keys to drive. So I go to my neighbor to the right, both of their cars in the driveway, and knock on the door. I said, Kirk, can you please allow me to borrow your car? Charlie's been in an accident. I have no idea exactly what happened, but I believe they're going to take her to our local hospital at UVA. He's like, sure, absolutely. So grab the keys. So I get in his car and I'm just numb. I really don't know what to think. So I'm starting to drive towards the hospital. My phone rings again. It was a number I don't recognize. So I answer and the person said, hey, I am so-and-so. I'm a nurse. I am the wife of the chief firefighter here in Gordonsville. And your wife has been in a horrific accident. She's been burned. It's a very serious injury. She's going to be airlifted to VCU in Richmond. They have a burn unit there, the only one on the state. So I turn around the car, make my way to Richmond. So it's about an hour and 20 minutes drive. I was there within 45 minutes. I was really desperate at that point because burn, airlifted, I just knew would not be a good sight. So when I got to the hospital, they made me wait for about 2.5 hours. I was in this waiting room. Anxiety just kind of building up. I truly started to feel that my gut was not feeling right. I was like, something doesn't seem good here. Why I'm waiting so long to see my wife? And they finally came and the chaplain came to see me. The first person I saw was a chaplain. And I was like, okay. So chaplain was very sweet. It was a female. She was super sweet, very comforting. And we prayed. And at that moment, I started to cry. And I don't know why, because I still did not know what had happened. And we make our way up to the burn unit. And as I sit on the waiting room of the burn unit, within 30 minutes, a doctor comes out with two other females. And doctor introduced himself. So I'm Dr. Feldman. I am taking care of your wife. Would you like to come with us to this private room? So we sit down and I'll never forget the feeling of fear that I experienced that very moment when he sat across from me on that small room and he was wearing his kind of operating room gear and he had a little hat, an all-covering hat, and he looked at me, and I remember his big blue eyes because he was wearing a mask, and he said, Andrea, tell me about your wife. And I was like, well, Charlie and I will be married for 13 years at the time, and we have two sons. And he asked me, how old are your kids? And I said, 4 years old and 10 months old.
Wow.
And he put his hand on his head and he removed his hat and he looked down and he said, oh God. And then at the time, truly, I started like my chest was becoming tight and he moved closer to me on the sofa. He came from across from me to be right next to me on the chair. And I remember trying to ask him what happened, how's my wife, but I just couldn't speak. I was like in shock. And I remember again looking to his eyes and I said, doctor, is my wife alive? And he said, yes, she is. But she is very, very, very sick. And she said, the extents of her burns are humongous. He said, I cannot even determine at this point what percentage she's burned. But I can tell you, it's one of the most severe cases I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And my logic brain just kind of kicked in and asked, but doctor, how bad it is? Like, can you give me a number? It's like, what do you mean? I was like, percentage wise, what are the chances of her surviving? Took a second and he looked at me, he said, less than 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. So he said, I'll be back. Give me 5 minutes. So he goes out, he comes back within 5 minutes and said, you can come this way. You'll be able to see your wife. So I walk into this ICU room and Charlie is covered from her neck down. Her entire body is covered with a white sheet, but also I can see her hands and her wrists are covered with this kind of silver foam material. But her face is not burned. Her face is just like her normal face. And I was like, hey, honey, how are you? She was intubated at that time. So she had a tube down her mouth and she kind of smiled and then kind of waved at me. And she asked for a piece of paper. So we gave her a piece of paper with a clipboard and a pen. She was still able to write at the time. And she wrote down, it's good to see you. I can't see the F time. Please take the tuna sandwich out of my lunch bag in the car. And make sure you buy baby food for baby Julian because we're out.
Wow.
Those are the things that she wrote down first when I saw her. And at that time, I still did not really comprehend how serious her injuries were. Because again, her face was fine. I could not see any part of her body because they're all covered. So I just did not know what to expect. But, you know, quickly, I realized how bad her accident was. So Charlie was burned 85% of her body on third and fourth degree burns. The only part of her body not burned was her face.
Wow.
Miraculously, still Charlie to this day, she does not really understand how or why her face did not burn because she was engulfed in a ball of flames. And the one thing about burns that I guess not a lot of people know, at least myself, we had no idea, is our skin is so important. It does so many jobs. So it's not just protection. It controls our temperature, controls our fluids. It's keep us warm, allow us to, you know, sweat. So there's just some, it's an incredible organ. And the first 72 hours is the most scary ones because truly what they do is called a fluid resuscitation, where they pump her blood with incredible amounts of fluid. Because what once you're burned, what your body does is it's truly pull all blood and fluids of the entire body into the main organs. So your extremities, they literally start to die.
Mm-hmm.
So to avoid that, they pump you with a lot of fluids. And I later came to find out, actually 3 weeks ago, I came to find out that Charlie's survival chance at the moment that she arrived was not under 30. It was at 3%. Which, that I'm so grateful for the doctor at the time for not telling me the truth, to be honest with you, because I don't know if I could have handled at the time. It's truly nothing short than a miracle that she survived. And which adds to the incredible story is she never lost consciousness during the entire ordeal. The amount of pain she experiences humanly possible to describe.
Mm-hmm.
She never lost consciousness. Then one thing that we also learned about the rescue, Charlie got hurt in a rural area, the town of Gordonsville. It's a small town here in Virginia. And the fire department is a volunteer fire department. They don't have a on-site staff. So when the call came, they send messages to all the volunteers. So whenever they are, they'll come. Sometimes it can be a few minutes. Sometimes it can be a few hours. There's truly no way to control that. And at that day, the first person to arrive to Charlie's accident was a nurse. She was the wife of the fire chief. She was shopping at a grocery store right next door to the brewery. When the accident happened, she got the message. She was there within 2 minutes. That was very important because she was able to assess really quick how bad the injuries were, and they dispatched the helicopter at that moment. The second person to got the message was also a volunteer firefighter, and he is one of the leadership persons for the Virginia National Guard. He is a war veteran with incredible experience in combat and also in rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Second person to arrive. So God truly put the right people at the right time. And one can say it's coincidence, but anyone who knows that area, you know that it doesn't happen that quick. She was able to be put in ambulance within 10 minutes of the accident. She was airlifted within 17 minutes of the accident.
Wow, that's incredible.
Incredible. Even for big city standards, that's incredible. Even more for a rural area. So very grateful for that.
Well, it wasn't her time, Andrea.
No, it was not her
time.
No, we absolutely know that now. And her doctor told her that if she had arrived 3 minutes later, he would have to amputate both of her feet and her hands. And thank God that did not happen. And of course, we start the journey of the recovery and the ICU burn. And they told me from the beginning, this is going to be a roller coaster of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Take it day by day. And at the time, I really did not fully understand why day by day. It's like, I want to think about the future. I want to see, what's next. And boy, I learned truly it is day by day. Because the issue with burns is infection. The number one killer of burns, if you can survive the initial 72 hours and the initial few weeks from fluid resuscitation, you become susceptible to infection, because that's another huge part of our skin to protect us from infection. And truly, Charlie, miraculously, her stay was very free from infection. Now we can say that. But at the time, she had 6 very big scares of major infection.
Mm-hmm.
That luckily, they were just false positive, then we were to clarify. But at the time, we just did not know, right? So the first big scare that we received was actually that they thought that she was in septic shock. Because
mm-hmm.
her blood flow into the capillaries of her body was just not, the heart was pumping, but the blood flow on the capillaries was not in the appropriate level. So they suspect septic shock. What did I do? We're Catholics, call the priest. Priest mm-hmm. comes in, gives Charlie her anointing of the sick. And, next 2 days later, they said, okay, actually, we still don't know for sure if she was in septic shock or not. We treated as she was, and thank God she's better now. So we keep on going. And then another scary moment was when they thought that she had yeast infection on her blood, which is super rare. Called the priest again. And at that time, we were actually much more concerned, because it took actually a few days to really clear that up. And he not only gave her anointing the sick, he gave her an apostolic blessing, which is an incredible blessing that we Catholics have, but you can only receive when you're dying. So Charlie received that. And once again, she improved. So we went on that roller coaster truly day by day of.
Now, Andrea, just for the sake of time, I want you to bring us in. At what point have you started the Facebook group? And in a few moments, tell us how it has grown and rallied you on and took a life of its own, kind of to expand that miracle for you.
Absolutely. So day 5, receive a call from a friend who has been through a horrific tragedy themselves. He suggests to me, Andrea, why don't you start writing a journal?
Mm-hmm.
That way you can update multiple people instead of responding to individual texts. I was like, I'm not a writer. I just don't feel like, but whatever. So the next day I start writing a little journal just describing my day, how my visitation went. And friends of ours created this page. At first it was a private page. And I start posting daily updates on Charlie's story. So truly today I went to visit Charlie. She did this, she did that. So just the day by day. Mm-hmm. And then within a couple weeks, that page had about like 400 people. And then the friend who created the page said, "Andre, I'm getting a lot of requests from different people that I don't know, but they want to follow the story, but I don't feel comfortable because, you know, on this page, we have a lot of your personal information. We control the meal trains here. We do all the childcare through here. So how about we create a public page and then you can continue to do your post there?" I was like, sure. Public page cheering on Charlie was created. And within a month and a half, 2 months, we had 3,000 followers. Then it kept on going. Now I think we're a little over 5,000 followers. But what is incredible to me is the number of people who are faithfully following Charlie's journey. And we got to a point that people were starting to share their experiences with the inspiration they received from Charlie. So at that moment, truly, I got to see how blessed we have been with the miracle of Charlie's survival and how inspiration her story is to so many people. Mm-hmm. And her story has the ability to bring people close to God. It has the ability to make people to stop for a second and truly reevaluate their lives. Because put things in perspective, right? Charlie's young, she's 35 years old, and in a blink of a second, her life was almost taken away by an accident. And it has been an incredible, humbling experience to me to be writing the journal every night. So right now, on average, per week, we have about 20,000 readers of the journals. And the number just keep on growing because more people learn about the story. And, you know, and now we're coming to the pretty much end of the first chapter of the journal, which is the hospital. So we do have incredible amount of journals in there. So it's about 172 days of journals. So each day I write an entry. And those journals, truly, now looking back, it is an incredible documentary of our journey. And mm-hmm. I can see clearly how faith and God and the power of prayer has transformed me through this journey from fear into hope, into vulnerability, and now into gratitude.
Amazing.
So it's incredible. The power of prayer and faith is incredible. And we're just so grateful for the incredible amount of love, support that we have received from friends, community, but also strangers from around the world.
Now, it's incredible to me also that I'm catching you on this, like you said, the triumphant finish of chapter one of that story of the hospital. And through this journey, if you had the moment was that was kind of the darkest moment for you, when was that moment? And knowing what you know now, being the person that you've become, going back to yourself at that moment, what do you need to hear?
So I think one, I feel dark, very dark moments, but the one that I'll never forget is day three of the accident. The doctors, that's the first time they told me truly how fragile Charlie's state was in terms of infection. I felt a feeling that I have never felt before in my entire life. And today I can say that was despair. Mm. And the way I describe despair is when I was unable to see a future without Charlie, without my wife. I could not visualize, I could not think about how I was going to raise my two boys by myself. I could not think, and I tried for about like 24 hours. That was the one day I truly felt despair. And the problem with despair is like, it's one of the worst feelings or emotions, whatever you can describe, you can have, because it's the opposite of hope, right? It's truly when you're in despair, you cannot see a way out. And it is a very scary feeling to have. If I could go back on time, I would tell myself, have faith. Trust in God, because He will show you the way. I know right now you can't see it, but trust me, there is a way. And at that time, I read this incredible quote that I've been carrying with us now. It's called, "Out of the darkness, there will be light." And that really resonated with me, because truly I was in darkness at that moment and light came out of darkness. So that was a very dark moment for me, because I truly could not envision my life without Charlie and without having her on my side raising our boys. I couldn't. And now I know that I was going to be able to do it, but at that moment it just seemed an impossible thing.
You know, as you're talking, a picture came to mind that is very clear, is that at that moment, what faith does, it doesn't necessarily give you ability to see or even ability to walk out of the darkness, but it allows you to trust for God to carry you out, and that you have to surrender your weight so completely into the embrace of God that He can carry you out of that darkness. That just was a very visible image that came to me as the process you're describing, that's not trusting that all of a sudden you'll jump up and you'll say, "I got this." It's just trusting that God's got you, you know, in a very vulnerable way. So
absolutely. No, you're right. And, you know, we are people of faith. We are religious. We go to mass. Faith is a big part of our lives, right? And that's one thing I learned on this journey, is faith, you have to practice. Do not wait until something happens, because if you wait, you will never know the power that God has, the power of prayer, the power of faith, if you don't have it before, right? Because I'm telling you, at that moment of desperation, if I did not have my faith, if I did not truly believe that God could help me, I don't know if I could ever come out of it.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to me, as you were sharing the story in the beginning, that there were inklings that, you know, the whole podcast is all about the voice, to learn to recognize the inkling, because God's going to get us to that point of talking freely one way or the other, right? But as you were saying, there was a feeling, don't go. And then all of a sudden the car was gone and you were like, bring the car back, you know? And I think you are aware and you're vulnerable to be sharing it that way. But I think that is such a gift for all of us to know that her story has empowered you to empower others to say, when you have that feeling, don't justify it. Just say, look, I don't know what it is. I just feel it. I just know it, you know.
So. You're absolutely right. That is true. And, you know, I'll be honest, you know, it took me a while to be able to overcome the guilt.
Mm-hmm. Forgiveness. Yeah.
Right. Because I felt guilt that I did not stop her. Right. I felt guilt that I had a second chance to bring her back and I didn't push hard enough. But, you know, God, He works in mysterious way. That's everyone knows that. But truly, He has a plan. He really does. And we just cannot understand. And here's an incredible little story that I heard that really made sense to me. So I don't know how you're going to feel about it, but here's the story. So a lot of times we want to ask God why. Why this accident happened, right? Why? And the story goes that a little boy had a dog. And he had to take this little dog to the vet to get his little leg amputated because it was infected. He goes to the vet, he's holding the dog, and the dog look at the kid, child, with pitiful eyes, fearful eyes, as like he's saying, why are you doing that? And the kid look at the dog and tells him, like, you know, buddy, you have to get this amputation done because otherwise you're going to die, but it's going to help you in the long run. The dog doesn't understand. Because the kid is human, the dog is a dog. God is not, even though for us Catholic, Jesus is a human, the Son of God, but God Himself is not human. He can tell us, but we may not understand because we're not the same. So it takes, you know, acceptance to know that, because we'll never know why it happens, right? And it's pointless for me to be questioning God or asking why. But I know there is a purpose. And now, 6 months later, we're starting to see that purpose. And we're starting to see why it happens in the human way, that he's using Charlie's story to inspire and to bring people back closer to him. Truly, that's that message, right?
I love that. And it's just that whole thing of asking, what am I learning and what is the best way to learn that, right? Well, I just love that. So going forward, 20 years from now, I know your impact will have been huge. So Andrea, now Charlie by your side, come together from 20 years and they're sitting on both sides of you. And what are they telling you? What do you need to hear today?
So they'll tell us, I know, he said, hey, Andre, thank you for having faith. Charlie, you're amazing. You did it. Like, you pushed through, you know. Thank you for raising incredible children who understand the power of love, understand the power of faith, and understand the power of compassion and vulnerability. You have done an incredible job with those kids. And most important, we're so grateful that the accident happened because it changed our lives to be much more meaningful. And now we have helped thousands, if not millions of people to truly appreciate their lives, the gift of life, without having to go through this tragedy that we went through, but just to learn by learning our story. They were moved enough to make change and get closer to God, start a relationship with God, develop faith, become vulnerable, and earn all the amazing gifts that you can earn by becoming vulnerable and having faith.
Neat. And I feel that's a part of your message already. But to kind of wrap it up then, obviously you had such a poignant story that had a lot of turning points and learning lessons. And if there was one thing that you want our All About the Voice family to remember you by, what would be that one most important message that you have?
I'd say that acceptance of life's adversity, vulnerability when you're put into the test, are powerful tools to use to be able to find the light. And faith, no matter how hard adversity is, no matter how impossible the challenge seems to be, we're giving a humanly impossible challenge. God will operate a miracle if you believe.
Beautiful.
And also, we have the power within ourselves to truly choose light over darkness every time.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, we're recording this episode on day 6 of the war in Ukraine. I believe in miracle. And so, as I said, from your lips to God's ears, my friend, thank you so much for your time and for being here with us today.
Thank you, Victoria. Again, really appreciate your platform. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share, you know, the love of God. Thank you.
Thank you. This was Andrea Xavier sharing an incredible story of love and survival. To learn more about Charlie's journey and to pre-order Andrea's book, please go to cheeringoncharlie.com.
This is All About the Voice podcast, and I want to hear your voice. What has been of the greatest value to you today? Share your insight and share this episode with others. All links are in the description. I also want to invite the voice of happiness into your life via our iHappy Daily and iHappy Me apps, our daily energy boosters. You can download these apps, including a free version of iHappy Me, from the Apple App Store or the Google Play App Store. For the voice of daily encouragement, grow with us with our free My Tree of Life Facebook group. If you want to join us in exploring how you can live your life with more freedom, head over to youtoshine.com. That is YU2SHINE.com. I can't wait to get to know you and be a part of your journey of endless possibilities. Thank you again for listening to All About the Voice. I'm Victoria Rader, and I'll see you on the next episode.